tonight? Maybe a little radio message or something?
Yes.
Well, I've had this thought on my heart today. And it did something I don't hardly ever do. I always wait to church and get it all around. But while I was at the house today, these passages came to me. And if the Lord helped me, I'd like to preach to you just a little while. Not going to try to hold you real long. They're serving down there. I understand that. But I think somebody here may need this tonight. In the 8th chapter, I'm going to read from all three accounts, just a verse out of two accounts, and the whole story out of the last account in Mark. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Then in Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, and when he came forth into the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes. I think there's some of them today. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Then in Mark chapter 5. When they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and had plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. When they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, they were afraid. And they saw it was told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed with him that he might be with him. Well, will you pray with me tonight? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your kindness and your goodness. Ask you, Lord, to touch me tonight, God. Dear Jesus, I need your help tonight. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In all three accounts, some of them vary one from the other. That's why you have to read all three accounts to get the whole story and get it complete. But there is a common theme in all three. And it is this in verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Does anybody know what is in the tombs? I'm going to tell you what is in the tombs. It's yesterday. Yesterday is in the tombs. Some of yesterday's memories are wonderful memories. And we think about them and rejoice in them. Some of yesterday's memories are not so pleasant. Matter of fact, if you think on them, they can even be tormenting. If I could preach to you for a little while today, I feel a burden of this tonight. I really do. We've shouted and ran, and different ones have prayed. And if I had any sense, I'd just let y'all go and we'd go down and eat a sandwich or whatever they got down there and have a little cake. But I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart for somebody here tonight. I want to preach to you for just a little while. Living in the graveyard of yesterday. Living in the graveyard of yesterday. That is what is in every graveyard. Memories. Little momentums. Folks will put on tombstones various things that will cause them to remember events in the lives of those that are buried there. Those of us that have buried our parents. We had those memories that are there. And our loved ones, some have even buried companions. And place them in that graveyard. Let me tell you about the land of yesterday. You can't get there from here. It's impassable. There's no roads that will lead to yesterday. There are no airports. There are no train stations. There's no way to get there. And if you choose to live in yesterday, you could never really enjoy the fullness of today. Yesterday, living in yesterday, living in that graveyard of yesterday. I don't know about you, but I've not met many people that enjoyed spending much time in the graveyard, especially at night. I know when I was growing up there in Morton's Gap, I had a friend that lived out not real far from the Salem Cemetery. And I'm going to tell you what. You talk about pedaling a bicycle. They could hide me on the Indianapolis 500, brother. I mean, on that Kentucky Derby, I'm telling you. But when I got getting past that graveyard, I was chugging it, brother. And that was in the daylight. That was in the daylight. I never will forget one day, me and my friend must have been about 9 or 10 years old. We had played, and it wasn't like it was today. Folks wasn't afraid of somebody abducting kids like they are today. And I let the time get away from me. And I got on that bicycle and sun was already going down. And it was about a couple miles to Salem Graveyard and on into Morton's Gap, which was about 2 or 3 miles. Brother, when I hit close to that cemetery, I'm telling you, I was chugging it. You would have thought I would have been an Olympian. And I don't know why. I got singing just as loud as I could sing. I was singing. I was trying to move that scared feeling off of me. There wasn't nothing in that graveyard that could hurt me. That'd probably be the safest place to be. But man, I killed myself getting by that graveyard. So graveyards are not somewhere that we really like to visit all that much. Every once in a while, folks that have family members that are buried, they'll go to the graveyard and pay their respect and their honor to their parents or their companion or their children, whoever's buried there. But I'm going to tell you, you can't live in yesterday's graveyard. Trying to live in yesterday's graveyard, amen, will cause you to be tormented like this man is tormented. You can't redo yesterday. You can't rewrite yesterday. There's nothing about yesterday you can change. And if you choose to live there, it's going to affect you today. And it's going to affect you tomorrow. And it's going to affect your future. Well, praise God. Can I get out here with you and preach just a little while? Amen. I'm telling you, amen, if I was to start around here, some folks, amen, they live in yesterday's graveyard and all they have is the good memories. They think of, amen, the best church services is in the graveyard. And the best preaching they ever heard is in the graveyard. And the best songs that they've ever heard is in the graveyard. And the best prayers they ever prayed is in the graveyard. Amen. And they live in that graveyard yesterday. Amen. And when actually what begins to take place, they fantasize about yesterday. And really it wasn't as good as they thought that it was. But because they take a trip there and live there, it steals from them the joy of today and the joy of today's services and the joy of today's prayer meetings and the joy of today's preaching and the joy of today's worship and the joy of today's touch with God. If you live it yesterday. Yesterday. But more than living in the good times of yesterday, there's folks that are imprisoned. They're imprisoned in their mind yesterday. They can't get past yesterday. Something they done yesterday. Something that someone done to them yesterday. Some hurt they received yesterday. And they can't go on with their life because they're spending their time in that graveyard. They may not be in a natural graveyard, but in the graveyard of their mind. When they get up in the morning, they're thinking about the hurts and the injustices that was done to them. They can't hardly make it through the day, amen, without even going back and revisiting the scars and the wounds that would have already healed in their life. But those trips they're making back yesterday, and they're calling back all of the bad words anybody said to them or about them, all of the disappointments and all of the hurts and all of the injustices. But I'm gonna tell you today, you can't have today's victory and live in yesterday. Amen. You can't have a bright future and be a captive of yesterday. Amen. You gotta get out of that graveyard. You can't stay there feeling sorry for yourself. Glory to God. You gotta come out of that graveyard. Brother Andy, if you get close, we're not gonna take a lot of time. But I want you to get Genesis 41:50. through 52 for me. Not going to teach, praise the Lord. So don't y'all get scared. Yesterday. Hurt. There's grown people in here. They were abused as children. And their parents didn't love them like they should have loved them. They should have been there to protect them and help them. But instead, they hurt them. And some even abandoned them. If they're not careful, they'll spend all of their life, instead of enjoying those that received them and helped them, they spend their life in that graveyard yesterday. How that their mother hurt them, or their father hurt them, or their spouse hurt them. And sad to say, even as the church sometimes, saints in the church may have hurt them. And they live and they wallow in yesterday's hurt. That black cloud of yesterday, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. That black cloud of yesterday puts out the sunlight of today. They can't hear the birds singing. They can't feel the joy of the Lord that they want to feel. They can't feel the love, and they're afraid of opening that door. You know, the Bible said Jericho, was in a strait that nothing could go out and nothing could come in. I preached on that once here, on the Jericho syndrome. You got some folks, they have built up a wall. They built up a shelf. Even they've been hurt so bad. But the problem is the wall they built is up so high, even that they never let the hurt go. They never let the disappointment go. They never let the disillusionment go. They never let the hopelessness go. And at the same time, that wall is up so high, even they can't get any hope in, and they can't get any joy in, and they can't get any help in. They're shut up inside of Jericho. But I come to preach to somebody tonight, even that you've lived too long. You live too long inside of that graveyard of yesterday. I don't want to say anything that would embarrass anybody, especially my own family. But my wife's family went through an ordeal years ago, and they were really hurt by someone that they cared for very much, and he hurt them, you know. It almost looked like it was an irreparable hurt. And every time the family would get together, that's all they'd talk about. Talk about all the hurt that had happened to them. And it was real. It was real. It wasn't because it wasn't real. It was real. And after a long time, sometimes you got to talk it out. But after a long time, after trying to comfort them and help them and strengthen them, never forget, I guess every one of her brothers and sisters was sitting around a table. They was all bemoaning the various things that had happened to them. And in the middle of this, I said, stop! We've talked about this long enough. This is not helping us. We're not able to move on. That hurts you is still hurting you because you refuse to let it go. And it took more than one shot of that. Amen. But I just kept talking every time. Brother, stop! We're not talking about that any longer. We got to move on. We got to get out of that graveyard. We got to get out of that place where we was hurt. We gotta get out of that place we will. You can't live there. It'll steal your faith. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your hope. It's a thief. Yesterday is a thief. will not only kill your today, it'll kill your tomorrow. And every day you get up, you're going to get up with a dread. Been hurt. Oh, I feel that. I feel this in the Lord tonight. Joseph had been sold by his brethren. Can you imagine how he felt when they placed him, sold him into slavery? I can see him stretching his neck as far as he can look, looking at his brethren that sold him. Blood of his blood and flesh of his flesh. And they sold him into slavery. As the Midianites was making their way, I can see him looking. How could you? How could you do this? Well, you know the story. It's down there in Egypt. Not very long, he gets lied on there. He's in jail. Finally gets out. You know the story. God's blessed him. He's on the throne. And here come those 10 guys in there that had sold him into slavery. Those 10 guys that had broken his heart. Those 10 men. He saw them. And said he went outside and wept. He couldn't stay in there with them. Of course, you know, to make a long story short, finally had to get for his own blood brother back, get Benjamin back. Yeah. And they're all there. They're all afraid. And he makes a declaration. Lion Joseph! Yeah. Thy brother. Can you imagine the fear that hit their hearts? Brother Spartan, he climbed out of yesterday. I can't live there. Pharaoh had given him a wife. And here, where are you at, Brother Andy? Genesis 41 and 50. Why don't you stand and read it with me? Come on. Yes, what does it say?
And unto Joseph were born 2 sons.
Yes.
Before the years of famine came.
Yes, yes.
Which happened at the daughter of Potipharah.
Yes.
Priest of On.
Oh, yes.
Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh.
Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh.
For God said he
has made me to forget the toil of my father's house. When I got this baby boy in the world and I saw him in my hand, I looked at him and it made me forget those 10 guys that sold me into slavery. It made me forget the time that I stood in prison. Joseph said, I forgot all about yesterday. I'm going to tell you what, there's people in this house tonight, that in this service tonight, they need to give birth to a Manasseh in their life. I'm wiping the slate clean. I'm closing the door. I was going through an ordeal in my life. And my dad, because my dad was not in truth. But you know how sons talk to fathers. And I called dad and I was talking to him. What I was going through. And I was even weeping on the phone. And my dad said, Steve, said, you know what? Just last week, I was downtown Miami into a jewelry store. Went to buy me a watch in a jewelry store. And he didn't wear his glasses all the time. And said, I went through the first door. And I tried to open the second door, and it would not open. And I couldn't understand it. Finally, I seen a little old sign there. Said, I put my glasses on and I read that. And the sign said, this door will not come open until the first door is completely shut. He said he walked in there and he shut that first door. And when he shut that first door, the second door automatically came open. There's some folks in this house tonight. You got some doors in your life that you're banging on and beating on and trying to get it to open. But you've never shut the door that you just came through. You got to shut your door on yesterday. You got to shut your door on your hurts. You got to shut your door on your wounds. Yeah, you got to shut your door on your disappointment. I've been there. I live there. I know what that is. But I'm not going to stay there. You robbed me long enough. You took my peace long enough. You took my joy long enough. And he gave birth to Manasseh. The Lord has made me forget all my toil and my father's house. And then the Bible said that she bare again. Yes?
And the name of the second,
he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I'm going to tell you, some of you are waiting on a fruitful day, but you're never going to give birth to Ephraim until you give birth to Manasseh. Manasseh's got to come first. You got to shut that door. You got to get out of that graveyard. You got to erase all the scores that you're keeping. You got to erase all the injustices that has been done to you. You got to close that door. You stole from me long enough. You crippled me long enough. You took my peace long enough. You took my sleep long enough. You robbed my home of joy. You robbed me of my song and my shout and my praise and my testimony. Giving birth to Manasseh. I'm going to tell you what. If you give birth to Manasseh, there'll be Ephraim coming. He said, and the Lord hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God wants to bless you where you're at. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Can I read one more scripture before we go? Y'all can be seated. Thank you, boys. Brother Andy, give me Philippians. Philippians 3 and 13. Philippians 3, 13. Paul is writing. Paul's writing from prison. Paul ain't writing from a pew. Paul's writing from prison. Glory to God. And his own brethren had sold him into there. Paul's writing in this prison. What did you say, Brother Andy?
Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. But this one thing I do.
I tell you what I am going to do. I may not reach as far as I want to reach, but I tell you what I am going to do. Forgetting those things, I'm going to cancel that debt. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to cancel that debt. If Brother Zimmerman has wronged me, if he never apologizes, I'm going to forgive him. He may not can go on, but I've got to go on. Amen. You know the person that unforgiveness will imprison? The person that has it. It won't do nothing to the person that wronged you. They'll keep on riding in the car and eating T-bone steaks. Amen. And enjoying theirself. And the only one that it steals their joy from is from you. You just need to write a blank check. I forgive you. It's gone. I'm not living there. I'm not dwelling there. I'm gone from there. I'm through with grudges. I'm through with unforgiveness. still my joy. Forgetting those things that are behind. Yeah. I'm reaching. Reaching forth. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. You can't press. You can't press when you're dragging yesterday with you. Yesterday will keep you from pressing. It'll take your vigor and vitality away. It's hard to wrestle with yesterday. There's nothing as miserable living with as yesterday. Watering in bed. Food don't taste good. Music don't sound good. Your bed don't sleep good. Because you're consumed with that person or persons that has done you wrong. But somewhere in your life, if you're going to go on and live a victorious life in God, if you're going to have a life of joy and peace, if you're going to have some happiness in your life, amen, you got to say, yesterday, I'm through with you. You've held me prisoner long enough. You've held me. I'm not living in the tombs anymore. Even when that man got delivered, amen, he said, Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to be clothed and in my right mind. I'm not making any visits back to the graveyard. I'm out of here forevermore. I want tomorrow. I want today. I want next week, next year. Be some time of victory while they come to the music. Forgetting those things that are behind. I'm pressing. I'm not looking back. I'm pressing forward. I'm not going to spend all my time looking in my rearview mirror. If you spend all your time looking in your rear view mirror, somebody probably in their church has failed and made a mistake in your life. And it may have been a bad one. But if you repented and got it under the blood, you can't live there. You got to get up and go on. I'm not saying you have a wound. Because there's some wounds we can get in life that truthfully, they're never healed. We just have to learn to say, they're here. I have them. But I may have the wound, but the wound's not going to have me. When Jacob wrestled with the Lord, he touched his thigh. And it came out of joint. And the rest of Joseph's life, he walked, dragging that leg. I'm going to tell you, some encounters you're going to have in life, it may affect you the rest of your life. But when you get through, you can be a prince of power with God. You can be someone that has wrestled and overcome. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Will you bow your heads? There's folks in here tonight. You're struggling. You're struggling with yesterday. You make a few steps forward and yesterday comes and slaps you right in the face. And instead of just shoving it off and moving it on, you make a side trip back in that graveyard. I guarantee you, that man that had the devil cast out of him never went back to that graveyard for a visit. He had been there long enough. Some of you folks need to stop visiting the graveyard yesterday. Your hurts, your disappointments. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. anybody in this house that you'd like to just stand and say, I got to get out of this prayer car. I got to get out of this. There's torment in this graveyard. There's one. I got to get out of this graveyard. I take one step forward and I get two steps back. I can't shake it. I can't get over it. I can't get around it. I got to get out of this graveyard. I got these hurts. And I need help. Well, just like Jesus went by the Gadarenes, He's coming by this service tonight. He's coming to set you free and change your residence. He wants to change your residence tonight from living in that graveyard. Amen. I want some of you brethren or sisters that's full of faith. Won't you look around and see those that are standing? Won't you step out there and lay your hands on them? Pray for them right now. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. God, in the name of Jesus, I know You're able. Oh, yes, Lord. You can help us.